this a national problem. And unfortunately, this is the Republicans, and it's the people that, you know, have derailed the country in so many ways. You know, the blood is on their hands, as far as I'm concerned, because in the end, you know, if you can't have a jobs program in the country, if you can't do basic things that any civilized country would do for your citizens to give them a chance to compete, you know, you make it hard to go to school. You got to get a huge debt to go to school. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's just ridiculous. You know, it's just, you know, America in that sense is just a third world country.
This is an emergency. This is an emergency.
Homicides in Chicago, Illinois, have surpassed the death toll of American special forces in Iraq.
Hey, it's all the media.
Welcome to Chi-Rat.
Chi-Rat, where we at, my city?
Land of pain, misery, and strife.
I'm talking with Kevin Willmott, the writer of the new Spike Lee film, Chi-Rat. I think people thought that Chi-Rat was going to be a straight-ahead drama, kind of like Chicago's version of Boys in the Hood or Menace to Society when people first heard about it being made, but it's something completely different. Can you talk about the plot and why you and Spike Lee use satire to talk about such serious issues in this film?
Well, you know, I think that both of us felt that, you know, that there was nothing more to be said about that in terms of drama, you know? I mean, you know, I know that these are complicated issues, but we were more interested in dealing with the problem of American violence as a whole, I think. You know, that Chicago is the you know, center point of that right now. But it's an American problem. And we didn't, you know, I don't think we made it specific to Chicago. But as a whole, you know, it could be Kansas City, it could be L.A., it could be New York, it could be, you know, any number of big cities that are plagued with gun violence right now. And so in that sense, you know, we wanted to make it a little more universal, you know, that we've seen those movies, and those are great films. And it's not that there's nothing more to be said in terms of drama with these films, but in terms of examining the problem, I don't know if there's anything new to be said with that. Mm-hmm. You know, that you know, this is, you know, I think we know the problem. Now, you know, so the movie is more about solutions. It emphasizes moving towards solutions instead of another examination of the problem.
Right.
And the other thing about when you examine the problem is you end up kind of glorifying the problem a little bit. You know, you end up kind of saying that guys involved in this world are worth examining. And they're really not. Mm-hmm. You know, their behavior has to change. And, you know, innocent people, you know, die every day from this. And there's a fine line you're kind of walking between kind of glorifying or kind of giving a platform to thug culture and not kind of putting it in a context that we kind of can learn from its errors. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the other big thing about it that I think attracted Spike to it.
How did this project get started, and how did you originally get hooked up with Spike Lee? I know it's been a number of years.
Sure. Well, I wrote the script years and years and years ago, and we tried to get it made back then and didn't quite get there. And he just hadn't forgotten about it. So I got a call about a few years ago almost now, and he said, "You still got that script?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Let's set it in Chicago and call it Chi-Rat." And he wanted to examine this, you know, black-on-black violence in Chicago, but really, again, I think he was always interested in it as a national problem as well. Chicago's like, say, the you know, the center of it right now. But so in that sense, it was always meant to be a more universal film. You know, taking Lysistrata and using the story of Lysistrata to examine all these issues, and so. But we then kind of got involved with the people that are really at ground zero in Chicago. Father Flager, the mothers that have lost children. We really did a lot of research with all that, got involved with them, and really kind of made it specific to Chicago problem.
Yeah, and what was it like shooting in the actual neighborhoods where this is going on? On a daily basis, what was the reaction from residents? What was that like?
Well, they loved us, and it was really kind of a profound, beautiful experience. I mean, we didn't have any problems, and Spike hired a tremendous amount of people from the area. The movie is its own kind of jobs program, and that makes a huge difference. He was constantly trying to give back to the communities there, to Inglewood.
I was going to ask you about John Cusack's character in the film is based on Michael Flager, who you talked about earlier. Can you talk a little bit about him and what kind of insight he brought to the film and what kind of role he played?
Well, I think, Father Flager is really, he's like, say, ground zero in the situation there, and really a profound person, profound leader. And he just brought, he brought credibility to us going in as outsiders. Chicago's kind of an insular kind of community. And more than anything, he put us in contact with all the people that we needed to talk to. We met with gang members, but mainly we met with mothers and fathers, who had lost children to a situation there. And that was really a profound experience, hearing the story. That's the thing I really love about the film is that it's just not about, the guys that are committing the violence. It's the movie is really, it's about anybody. It's about the people who suffer from the situation. And focuses on trying to solve it and trying to get justice for the people that so many people have lost children and the people that murdered them were never caught. Mm-hmm. And so that's another big thing that the movie kind of a big message of the film.
I know in your past you've been an activist for a lot of different causes. How do you feel about this issue? Is there an answer? How can this be fixed? And are politicians and police in Chicago and other American cities, what are they doing about it that actually is constructive, or are they doing anything about it that's getting anywhere?
Well, in terms of what they're doing, I mean, unfortunately, the police are not going to be the solution to the problem. The police are always a response to the problem. Mm-hmm. And it's really not the police. It's not their kind of duty to solve this problem. I mean, the problem is really about the fact that these neighborhoods have no economy. The underground economy dictates many of these areas. There are no jobs. We met people in Inglewood that had never been downtown, never been to, Michigan Avenue. So when you're isolated like that and really segregated like that, nothing good comes out of that. You have a very limited view of the world. And that's a big part of the problem. When I was a teenager, we had the CETA program. It was like you were guaranteed a job in the summer, and then those jobs they had a huge impact on my life. Mm-hmm. And the fact that these neighborhoods, there are no jobs in these neighborhoods. There's no industry in these neighborhoods. There's nothing there to build a life around. And so if you're based in that neighborhood, you're based in a really kind of such an economically deprived area that you know, is how it's not a shock that problems occur. So, I mean, that's a big, huge part of the problem, you know. And the other big part of the problem is just simply guns. You know, just there, it's easy, as Father Flager says, it's easier to get a gun than it is a computer. And, you know, that's a problem. That's a real problem. And, you know, then the macho culture of all of this stuff that really, you know, celebrates, you know, violence and celebrates what I would call a false masculinity mm-hmm. of things. That's the other part of the problem. But, you know, you can't really kind of dispute that part of the problem if you don't have something to offer somebody as a choice. You know, that you don't have to do what you're doing now. You could actually be doing this. And you know, Father Flager does the best he can with that. But this is a national problem, and unfortunately, this is the Republicans, and it's the, you know, the back people that, you know, have derailed the country in so many ways. You know, the blood is on their hands, as far as I'm concerned, because in the end, you know, if you can't have a jobs program in the country, if you can't do basic things that any civilized country would do for your citizens to give them a chance to compete. You know, you make it hard to go to school. You got to get a huge debt to go to school. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's just ridiculous. You know, it's just, you know, America in that sense is just a third world country. You know, and so you know that's the part of the problem that it's not hard to figure out. You know, we know what these communities need. You know, unfortunately, no one can give it to them.
Mm-hmm. And I guess you were saying before that it's, you know, this isn't specific to Chicago. I feel like even living in Kansas City for a while, driving east of Troost, it's a completely different city. You know what I mean?
Exactly. It's a completely different city. And most American cities are like that.
Right.
And they're still, you know, totally segregated. They are still, as we talk about in with the Chicago thing, it's a tale of two cities, you know, it's a tale of two cities, and never the two shall meet. And so that's a huge problem. That's just a huge problem. And that's going to take real work to improve that. I mean, it's going to take resources, it's going to take focus. It's going to take, you know, a real effort to improve that. And, you know, you combine, you know, no resources, bad schools, you know, no opportunity, the culture, you know, you just got to, it's a prescription for violence.
Right.
And so, you know, that's kind of what we deal with in the film.
You've directed a number of films, and on this one, you're just the writer. What was it like to be, you know, on the set day to day as a writer? How does your role change? Is it kind of a hard transition being in charge of everything and then going and being, you know, what's your role as the writer on a big film like this?
Well, I'm the co-writer and executive producer. I'm one of the executive producers of the film.
Okay.
So Spike was very, very respectful to me in that way. I mean, he was acknowledging that, you know, it all started with my idea and that then we wrote it together and rewrote it together and really, you know, made the focus, you know, Chicago. But he's been very, very respectful and very giving to me in terms of my role in the film. I have no complaints about that, whatever. He's been a really a great friend in that sense. And, it was nothing but a great experience for me. I mean, you know, I mean, it's fun to be on a film when you don't have to be responsible for everything.
Right.
And we did do a lot of little rewrites along the way, and that was enjoyable, and that was really kind of, you know, crafting it to, you know, the players we had and to the situations that would kind of develop. And so we responded to certain things that happened in the news. I mean, we responded to the shooting in South Carolina in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we responded to that in the film and wrote some lines in the film that deal with that talk about that. So in that sense, you know, I think, you know, the thing about Lysistrata and the thing about the overall kind of structure of the film, it enabled us to make a film that you know, is really funny, and really makes fun at the absurdity of the situation. But also, you know, it's not the typical kind of satire because, you know, we weave straight up drama through it as well. And it's punctuated with the drama. And so, you know, people that don't know kind of, you know, film very well, you know, don't know how satire can work. You know, they just don't understand what we're talking about, I don't think. But but once people see it, I think they will see that, you know, nowhere do we come close to making fun of a tragic situation.
Yeah.
You know, if anything, we expose the tragedy on a new level.
Well, I was going to ask you, that was going to be my next question. There's been so much controversy about the name and, you know, people getting upset about the name when you guys were filming this summer in Chicago. And, you know, all these people have their own opinions about it. But people who have actually seen it, because I know the premiere was last weekend, what's the reaction from people? What's the reaction from people who have actually seen the movie?
Well, everybody I've seen, I mean, we've got great reviews and people that I saw, you know, coming out of the theater, Chicagoans, we're talking about they don't understand what the problem ever was, and that's typically. I mean, you got to understand people are talking about the film, criticizing it, hadn't even seen it,
right?
You know, and so you know, and I've been in those situations before, and you know, you just kind of have to blow that kind of stuff off. I mean, it was great publicity for the film,
right?
Which was great, but I think that people become, you know, possessive to a point about things. And understandably so on one level, but at the same time, you know, Spike has never made a film that degraded black people or kind of didn't take, you know, issues that kind of, you know, challenged the black community. He's never done anything to kind of, you know, make you think that he would not be at the utmost respect for, have the utmost respect for a situation like this. So, you know, I think those people in the end are kind of just haters, you know, in a way.
Do you think that, I mean, you know, we were talking about how the movie is misunderstood by people who haven't even seen it yet. Do you think Spike Lee is kind of that same way? Is he kind of misunderstood by people who don't know him and haven't worked with him and had conversations with him before?
Well, probably a little bit. I think one of the reviews in The Guardian, I think said it pretty well, is that, you know, Spike's not trying to be, you know, a Hollywood player kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not trying. I don't think he's trying to be this guy that, you know, is thought of as this Hollywood, you know, legend, directorial legend kind of thing. I think he's trying to be an artist, and I think he's trying to use film to help, humanity, to help society, and to help America. And that's how I see film too. That's how I've always seen film. I mean, you know, I don't just love film. I love what film can do for the world. That's why I love film. I mean, I enjoy film, and I film is a, you know, can be a relaxing thing for me and a way for me to escape the world when I need to. But the importance of film is the effect it can educate, it can challenge, can give insight. It can move people to do things they should do. It can stop people from doing things they shouldn't be doing. And that's what's important about film.
You're always working on different things. What do you have coming up next after this?
Well, I just finished a little documentary that we made here about a charter school in Kansas City that deals with the poorest kids in Kansas City. It's called Gordon Parks Elementary. Just finished that, and you know, I've got a film that I'm finishing that I did with Scott Pollard, who was a former KU basketball player and pro and NBA player, and it's kind of about the corruption of collegiate sports and about the corruption of agents and and kind of the underbelly of the sports world, and also really about how, you know, professional athletes can really kind of make a lot of really bad choices and end up broke.
Right.
And so, you know, it's going to be a really interesting film.
Is that going to be a narrative film, or is that a documentary too?
It's a narrative film, and Scott Pollard acts in the film.
Okay.
And it's called The Association. Cool. That's what it's called.
Cool. All right. Well, I know you're busy. Thank you very much for fitting me in.
Oh man, thank you. It's always great talking to you, Matt.
Rico. Police sirens every day. People dying every day. Mama's crying every day. Father's trying every day. Trying to get my head straight. It's the city of Chirac. Get your bed made. See death around the corner. Boy, I dodge him like I own. I don't talk if I don't know. Niggas plotting, niggas on. Boy, I lost homies. Some died, some crossed on me. I love the niggas that's down for me. Fuck the ones that sent shots on me. Yeah, and if the bills late, they rob me just to get the bills paid. Niggas working for a payout. Every day looking for a way out. Get released from jail and try to stay out. Pray to God, see how I play out. But maybe God trying to test me. This life that I'm living so stressful. In 1 second, I'ma let loose and everybody in here gon' catch it. Cause right now, I can't take it. Lord, when I'm gon' make it. Cause it's Chirac and my city lost. I can't fall victim to Satan. Please pray for my city. Hurry up. Please pray for my city. Too much hate in my city. Too many heartaches in my city. But I got faith in my city. This Chirac and I love that. He can't take away from my city. Some can't relate to my city. They die every day in my city. Real talk, I lost plenty. But I'm still out here getting it. On the block with my brothers. Tryna eat cause we all hungry. Walking up the wrong block and get your hit up. I gotta keep some on me. Can't trust none, can't be him, he ain't done nothing. I hustle hard with my loved ones. Some wasn't and some was. But I don't judge. Go hug on my city. Cause my city got it. They ain't wanna see my city have it. I ain't have it, so I went and got it. They talk down on my city. But my city matter. Please pray for my city. Too much hate in my city. Too many heartaches in my city. But I got faith in my city. This Chirac and I love that. You can't take away from my city. Some can't relate to my city. They die every day in my city, yeah.
All my soul is my city.
We gon' make sure these fools put down these guns.
It could be you next time.
Please pray for my city. Too much hate in my city. Too many heartaches in my city. But I got faith in my city. This Chirac and I love that. Can't take away from my city. Some can't relate to my city. They die every day in my city, yeah. Please pray for my city. Too much hate in my city. Too many heartaches in my city. But I got faith in my city. This Chirac and I love that. Can't take away from my city. Some can't relate to my city. They die every day in my city, yeah. Call it Chicago. But I don't live in no fucking Chicago. Boy, I live in Chirac.
Peace!
This is an emergency.